want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
On your mark, get set, here we go again. Another week in Brevard County, and God has positioned you and I here to be a blessing to our community, and we are excited about that. So pray that you are having a great day, and I want to invite you, if you have air conditioners, here's what I know about air conditioners. If you own one, you're going to need somebody to service that at some point in time. And if you're in central Brevard County here, you can call the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284, and have them come out, take a look at your situation, see if they can't get you up and running in the most economical fashion possible. And, you want to prolong that system as long as you can, and or until it gets to that point. You know, there's a term, you don't want to throw good money after bad. And so I remember one time, I don't remember exactly how long ago this was, my air conditioner broke down, fixed it, and it broke down again like the very next day, and called them back out again, and it was a completely different issue. And, you know, you can do that for a little while. I think that, you know, both of those problems weren't too serious. But, you know, if you're on a three-week stretch where you've been having to have your AC worked on every single day, it might be time to consider a new system. Creative AC Solutions, whether it's a repair or a replacement, they can give you the recommendation from their professional experience. And, they will do it. It'll end up being a blessing in your life. 321-759-3284. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So right now we are going through the word. We started off in Isaiah chapter 1, where it says for us to seek justice. Seek justice. This is part of our seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you series. That's where we are and what we're going through. So right now we're going through, what does that look like? Justice is not going to be something that is going to be able to be accomplished through social means. Justice is a spiritual attribute. It is the nature of God. He is a just God. He is a righteous God. He is a true God. And so we will never be able to accomplish spiritual goals through carnal means less than spirit. I mean, that's just what's going to, we need Jesus. If you want justice In the world, you need to have Jesus living in your heart, and we're not looking for other people to be the catalyst of justice. We're looking to be the people who are looking for justice as a norm for our society. God says that in heaven there are going to be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and so our missions goal is to make sure that every human being has the possibility of hearing the gospel and having it presented to them in such a way that they will make a decision to either accept or to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I can't make the decisions for them, but I need to be doing the best that I can to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to know about Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 32 is where we're going to start today. Deuteronomy chapter 32, another one of the sermons of Moses, and it says in verse number 1, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, for he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." Today I want to talk to you about God the just. God the just, not just God, but the fact that he is a just God. He is absolutely just. And I have down here, this is, I told you about this in an earlier program, this reference. God is 100% just, and he's also 100% mercy. It's not that he is part merciful and part just. He is absolute both. So in his justice, he created a way for sin and the rebellion of mankind to be dealt with in a just manner so that God could be merciful to us as sinners. But the Father's justice was still satisfied. So I want to talk to you about the nature of God, because we live in a day and time where people really have shallow understandings of the nature of God. Well, God is love. Yes, God is a God of love. But that is not his only attribute. He's also holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. That's a fact. That's scripture. That if it is scripture, it's fact. Whether you believe it or whether anybody else believes it, it's still the fact. And so there, I see where society, the number of people who are going to church is now beneath 50%. And even though a lot of people have Bibles, most of them aren't reading them. And so that means that they're getting their spiritual understanding from other places. They may be getting it from a television program. They may be getting it from a movie. They may be getting it from someplace else, if they're getting it at all. And what that does is breed confusion as to the nature of God. So one day, all of humanity is going to stand. Well, not, let me rephrase that. Not all of humanity. Humanity who did not acknowledge the work of Jesus Christ and accepted him as Lord and Savior, that part of humanity will stand before the great white throne of judgment. And when they do, the angel, they will be removed from the presence of God and cast into the lake of fire. And the angels and even the people who are removed from his presence will cry out that God is righteous and just in all that he does. Let me take just a moment to point that out to you. In Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was no place, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. Let me see where the other reference is that I was looking for. Not seeing that exactly right now, but rest assured, all of heaven acknowledges that God is righteous and true in all of his judgments. He is a just God. So here in one verse, we see a number of attributes, or in two verses, ascribe greatness to our God. A lot of people want to assign blame to God. Moses commands the people to ascribe greatness to God. When I encountered a businessman, I'd been at the church for not too long, and we were wanting to make a supply change as far as part of our bathroom towel dispensers. And so I went and I met this guy that I'd been referred to, and he said, "Well, tell me about your church." And so I started to tell him, and he said, "Listen, if you're going to tell me about your God, do not tell me about a weak God. Do not tell me about how small he is or how incapable he is. I want to hear that God is great. I want to hear that he is omnipotent, that he is all-powerful, that he is all-knowing, and that he is on the move. If that's the God that you serve, I can bless that type of God. I can't bless a diminutive God." And, you know, through the years, I was pretty young at that point in time, and through the years, I understand what that person was trying to communicate to me, because now whenever I see Christians begging, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, we don't do a lot of financial begging on this program. I don't have books to offer you to purchase or anything like that. We are strictly here by faith. And there are some people who make donations from time to time, and that's all fine, well and good, and appreciated and needed. But we're not here to beg. And so whenever I see people who are begging in the name of Jesus, I want to quote them this verse. It says, "Did you know that David said he had been young and now he was old, and he had never seen the righteous forsaken, and he had never seen their seed begging bread?" And so I've had pastors that tell me, "Pastor, you need to receive more offerings." And I said, "Why?" It's not that I'm opposed to giving people an opportunity to give. When there's an opportunity to give, I give them that opportunity. But generally, if we have a Sunday night crowd, those that attend on Sunday night are part of our Sunday morning crowd. Wednesday night's part of that crowd as well. But we do have ways for them to give if they were not there for that. But I tell you, I can't find too many churches that have the level of financial blessing from the size of congregation we've got. God is a great God. God is a great God. Don't despise your small beginnings. God is just developing faithfulness inside of you. Don't despise your small beginnings or your current circumstance, because God is just using that as a school for you so that he can teach you about the faithfulness of God, the greatness of God, and the provision of God. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. He is the rock. We're not talking about the actor. We are talking about the foundational rock. We are also talking about the rock that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness, that provided water for them in a dry and thirsty land. You can read about that in Corinthians. God is the rock. He is the source of stability. He interrupts the atmosphere, if you will. He provides safety and refuge and shelter. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. He is the rock. Now, here's where we begin to discuss the dynamic attributes of God. His work is perfect. That means his timing is perfect. That means his process is perfect. His purpose is perfect. Everything that God does is perfect. And yet I know a number of believers who through the years get frustrated with the circumstances of life and have flipped the script to where they look at themselves as being more righteous than God or more perfect than God, and they start pointing the finger of blame at God. And I want you to know that that is a very dangerous place to be. You and I are not called to sit in judgment of God. He is the judge. He is the one that sits on the throne. And I recommend that we always remember that God's ways are perfect. And so through the years, there have been times that you know, a prayer would go something like this. Now, God, this is the only way that this problem can be resolved. And the next thing I know, God is doing it not my way, but his own way. And he's doing it in such a way that he humiliates the way that I thought was going to work. And so here's what I learned. God, your work is perfect. It is without flaw. It is going to stand the test of time. It says, for all his ways are justice. All, say that with me, all God's ways are justice. Okay, so his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. Now, that is a tremendous promise of blessing for those of us walking in covenant with him. It should also be a tremendous warning to those who are not. I've told you before about when I was working in a manufacturing plant when I was going to college, and they found out I was going to be a pastor, and there were a couple of them in there that one of them was a pastor's kid, and he didn't like the way that his dad was treated, and so he was bitter against God. And another one was just not interested in God at all, except for he wanted to go to heaven. And his statement still resonates in my spirit. That was what year? 1981, and he said this: when I get to heaven, I'm going to explain to God how it was down here, and my logic is so flawless, he will let me in because he just doesn't have a clue. That's insulting to God. It's insulting to God. If you ever get to feeling where you are more just than God, you've never been more wrong. You've never been more wrong. And yet, it's one of the favorite tools that the enemy uses is to try and, what's the word I want to use? Undermine God's reputation. Say, well, I wouldn't do that to you. You know, Absalom tried to do that with David. You know, the king's so busy, you know, but I tell you, if I was able to represent you, you would get justice. I promise you, you would get justice. And what did Absalom do? He wooed the hearts of the people where the people wanted to follow him, and he wasn't interested. Absalom's number one characteristic was he was vain. He was in love with some Absalom. He loved himself. and he was just using the people to try and get to the throne. And that's never going to work. All God's ways are justice. He is also a God of truth and without injustice. He's a God of truth. You are not going to be able to present to God a fact or a circumstance where God is going to say, huh, I hadn't thought of that. Huh, I didn't know that. That's not going to be what happens at all. Again, that's insulting to the greatness of God. Okay, here's a thought to think about with the greatness of God concerning you. He knows every flaw that you have. He knows every sin that you've committed. And he still wants to forgive you and be the Lord of your life and spend forever with you. The devil says, whew, you better keep that a secret. If God ever finds out about that, he's never going to want to have anything to do with you again. Nothing could be further from the truth. God has perfect awareness and knowledge of every aspect of your life, past, present, future. He knows all about it. He knows all about your warts. He knows all about your shortcomings. And yet, in his justice, he made a way for us to have a reconciled relationship to the Father. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. And he says he is without injustice. So I want to ask those who would accuse God of being unjust or, you know, as Bette Midler said in her song, and trust, I mean, believe me when I say this. I love the vocals of the song as far as the singing. I can't stand the theological blasphemy of the song that says God is watching from a distance. God is, but if he was up close, he would see the horrific things that are going on, but he's just off on vacation right now, and he's, you know, looking down, and the earth is so beautiful from way up there, but he really doesn't know what a miserable, wretched place this is. That is such a false accusation. So here is my question to those who want to reject God. Do you think that the devil is more just than God is? Do you think that the devil is more just than God is? If you think he is, I'm suspecting he might be holding out on you about some of his motives and some of his past and some of the, you see, he's not a nice devil. He is a horrific oppressor and destroyer of humanity. He is a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus is the good shepherd that comes to lay his life down for the sheep, that they might hear his voice, know his voice, follow his voice, and he would lay down his life for the sheep that they might have abundant life. That's the truth of the matter. I see so much phoniness, deception in the people that are pursuing the illusion of fame and celebrity and wealth through their artistic talents, you know, that they think, well, if I just do this, then society is going to embrace me because I understand their definition of justice. But do you understand God's? You see, and once you get addicted to their quality of life, the chances are you're going to find yourself under their ball and chain, having to continue to toe the party line. God, this is what it says about God: righteous and upright is He. Righteous and upright is He. Let me just say this to those who are out there who've been serving the Lord for a long time. God hasn't forgotten. You might be shut in right now. You might not be able to even get out to church anymore. It might be one of the things that you're missing the most in life. And I want you to know, God hasn't forgotten. You know, where some people would accuse God of being unaware of all of the bad things that have gone on, a lot of times older saints can sometimes fall prey to the other side of that accusation, that God isn't paying attention to everything that you've done. And I want you to know that is also not true. Do you realize that in heaven there are golden bowls that are filled? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't fill a gold bowl with something that has no value. I would fill a gold bowl with something that was extremely precious. And in heaven, those golden bowls are filled with the prayers of the saints. They say, how long until our prayers are answered? And God says, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to take care of that. It is a great comfort to know that everything we have prayed, every praise and worship we've offered, every act of service that we've ever done, God is fully cognizant of. And He said, I am the rewarder of those that diligently seek Me. He says, the scripture teaches this, there is an eternal reward that is coming for the saints. And it is a reward that God Himself is going to bestow. But I also want to let you know this. There's a reward here and now. God has not just commanded us to wait until eternity till we get to experience the benefits. There is the benefit of peace. There's the benefit of justice. There's the benefit of love. There's the benefit of blessing. There's the benefit of purpose. There's the benefit of being a blessing to your community. Don't think that God has forgotten. Let me just remind you, He's a great God. He is the rock. He's your foundation. His work is perfect, and all His ways are justice. He's a God of truth and without injustice, and He's righteous, and He's upright.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
With a smile, you walked with peace, but a his heart cried out. He was alone.